Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, May 4th. You're listening to WizWit Radio. We are tuning in from the Red Sound Studios out in Warrenton, PA. I am your host, Justin Emery, joined always by my co-host, Mike Iano. How you doing?
Oh, dude, I'm feeling great. I know there's still too many questions to answer, but now that this draft unfolded, we can put the Mariota hysteria behind us. That's the number one take for this weekend. I mean, you've got what you know what I mean? I want to switch real quick to Pacquiao Mayweather because you got to talk about it before we get to back to the Eagles. But I know everybody was upset by kind of what they saw. But to be honest, I mean, you knew what you were getting with Floyd.
Oh, he won me a smooth $200.
You knew you were getting, oh. What were you going to get with Floyd?
You knew you were going to get a 12-round fight that was going to be boring, that was going to come with a unanimous decision.
Yep.
That's what a Floyd Mayweather fight is.
That's what's going to happen.
And
I heard a great point today. You're only mad that Floyd rope-a-doped and stayed away and countered and hit Pacquiao more times than Pacquiao had him, which is the most important thing. Is that most people wanted him to lose. So you're watching and you wanted him.
Oh, yeah.
So you're trying to reward the guy that you want to see beat him, the last guy who has a chance. And now it comes out, Pacquiao's like, oh, I had a shoulder injury. So now he can get his rematch and he can lose again.
I don't know if there's a rematch clause in it for him.
Oh, no. Floyd would have to give it to him. But, I mean, I find it hard.
Well, no, I'm saying there was a rematch clause in it if Mayweather lost.
Right. But what I'm saying is, now, I don't know if the fight would definitely not be $300 million again. But,
oh, no.
It's definitely going to make $100 million.
The thing is those two realize that they can't make as much money anywhere else as they can together.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, for the businessman that Floyd is, and now he beats this guy convincingly.
He should just keep fighting Pacquiao.
There's no one else he needs to fight.
No, just keep fighting him.
I mean, one thing is really bothering me. And I'll tell you right now, I wish I had all 7 games on tape. And the series I'm talking about is Spurs-Clippers. That series will go down in history. And the way it ended on that Chris Paul floater, I've never seen a harder shot in my life. But the only thing is, I'd be telling you right now, and as good as the Golden State Warriors look, if Chris Paul was 100% healthy, I'd be telling you that they were going to run through the entire thing and win it all. But now, like I thought, and I asked Justin this question, I think it was on the show, I asked him at home, at his house, and I was like, you know, I would think that the Spurs-Clippers, the winner of that series, is going to win it all just because of how great both teams are playing. But I thought that they'd bang each other up. And now you see Chris Paul comes out with a hamstring injury. Now he turns in 27 points. You know, including the game-winning floater where he fakes out Danny Green and goes over the 7-foot Duncan. And I never seen that. I mean, it hit the top of the glass. But for that to fall, I mean, that had to be the most disheartening thing to be on that court for San Antonio.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch it. I know the outcome, though.
That is
a
sports tragedy right now.
Well, that's fun.
I'm telling you right now.
You can't watch the Spurs. The Spurs bore me.
No, not that series. Listen, maybe during the season they bore you. You know what I mean? Maybe versus the Heat because the Heat was so unconventional. But the way San Antonio played in that playoff series, both of them, how exciting it was. Back and forth, running up and down the court. That was the best 7 games of basketball I've ever seen. I mean, I got to be honest. And I can't believe that San Antonio lost. You know what I mean? It's sad that it had to be in the first round.
Yeah, I mean,
and now Chris Paul's banged up. It's even more sad that, you know what I mean. That I find it hard pressed to see that someone if Chris Paul's a bum leg, they're going to beat Curry the way he's playing.
He is not playing tonight. This just came out.
But I mentioned
Chris Paul is out tonight.
Yeah, but they should give him a day off. They need him. You know what I mean? Hey, as long as there's 4 games left in that series at any point, that's all. I would rest in the first 2 games. I don't care if I go down 0-2, bring Chris Paul back in. He could win 4 straight easy with that team. You know, they just make the most fundamental team in basketball on all cylinders. It's not like they lost 111 to 109. Like, you know what I mean? The defense is good. It's just Blake. I mean, they were getting killed on the Blake Griffin, Chris Paul pick and roll. That's just a tough play to stop. Blake is just attacking. But I don't know. I find it hard pressed. I think this is Golden State's year, and I really hope so. And speaking of Golden State,
Steph Curry, he won the MVP.
MVP.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't.
And you know what I think? And they should have, and I was really happy they did this, because Steph Curry only averaged, like, I think 24 points a game, somewhere around there. You know, with like 8 assists. But what people got to understand is they were in so many blowouts. Steph Curry was out. He missed, like, he was taken out in the third quarter, like, in 20 or 30 games.
Did he play any fourth quarter this year?
He barely played in the fourth quarter all this year. Because of how much they were just dominating. I mean, there were so many nights where he could go 40 or 50. You know what I mean? He had 25, 26 points in the third quarter, and they take him out. Because, you know, why risk it? And now, mind you, this is a guy who you worry when he plays this many minutes, because he plays at such a fantastic rate. And he's such a great competitor. And you know what I mean? He's had the ankle injuries when he was younger. But I think he's filled out a little bit. You know, he's a little stronger. And you'll see that when you come to the pros, in the first couple years of your career, usually, you know, you see that. Guys put on bulk. They get bigger. They get stronger. You know, they find out ways. They probably wear great tape and a brace. I mean, that they are the most important ankle that side of the Mississippi.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And the way he's playing, man, he's just fun to watch. Like, anywhere on the floor you leave him open, he'll hit it. Even at half court, I think if nobody played him at half court, I think he'd take like 5 half court shots and hit 3 of them. You know what they said he does for ritual? He shoots the shot from the hallway. And like, they showed him make like 5 of them.
Well, I saw this video of him in practice. He hit something like 115 3-pointers in a row in practice. Like,
they said like
something like 200 and some odd free throws in practice.
But they said like he shoots a ridiculous amount every day.
Yeah.
Like he's a relentless practice. Like, he's relentless.
Ray Allen.
He is Ray Allen. But he's better. Like, you know what?
The thing that made
Ray, looking for the next Jordan, you may have to look no further. You know, Kobe is Kobe, and you can never take that away from him. He's the closest we have so far. But, you know, the debate was LeBron, Kobe, you know, Jordan's probably a step ahead of those guys. The next guy who might be in that debate just might have to be Steph Curry. What can he do? I mean, for a guy who can, not only is he a deadly set-up shooter, deadly off the ball, you can never leave him open for a second from anywhere. He's got the quickest release. I mean, he's Ray Allen with Chris Paul. You know what I mean? And the way he finishes in the lane, it's just ridiculous.
Now, hold on. I have to stop you here for something.
You're a little
that
off
down.
The course. On
no, 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 no. I just want to bring something up about what you said. So you said, you know, you put Jordan at the top with Kobe, LeBron. You know,
say LeBron.
No,
I would put Magic Johnson ahead of LeBron. Now, I'm just saying, like, that's the debate that
everybody's having. Yeah, I understand. But where do you put Tim Duncan?
He's got to be up there. But, you know, that's a different – you compare Tim Duncan with Shaquille O'Neal. You compare Tim Duncan with Wilt Chamberlain and, you know, Robinson and those guys. You know what I mean? It's hard to compare a power forward to a guard, or even, you know, a small forward. They just do different things, you know. It's like trying to compare, you know. It's like trying to say who's the best football player ever. You're like, you want to go right to the quarterback, but every one of those great quarterbacks, they've at least had great. I mean, even Tom Brady. As much as you want to say he's never had great weapons, he's had quietly one of the top 5 offensive line every year for the last decade. I mean, that's not a stupid thing to do. I'm not trying to say that's a slant against Tom Brady, but all these great quarterbacks have great players around them, so it's hard to compare one position to another.
I get what you're saying.
But I want to get back to the Eagles and Chip Kelly and this huge
I got
rant.
It right here, fresh off the press. We got the draft picks. We got. I got the projected depth chart from ESPN today.
Oh wow!
There's actually a couple surprises on there. I will run that by you later and get your thoughts on that. And I also got transactions and whatnot, and we can start breaking the draft down pretty much right now.
I want to go back to the question we had last week, because now after the draft, I think it's...
Well, first I have to talk about what a heartbreak I had, knowing that Mariota will be in Tennessee.
You know, only for a couple of years, so his trade value goes down.
Yeah, he figures out there, and we get him.
I still wouldn't be surprised if something developed. I don't think so. I think we're set, and I'm happy with what we have. And I really think that the question that I want to ask is, you know, again, are we better now than we were this time last year? And everything in my gut really wants me to say yes, and I want to believe in Chip Kelly. But I can't help hinging it to one set of needs. You know what I mean? Talk about the most important set of ankles on the West Coast. Well, the most important set of knees on the East Coast is Sam Bradford.
Oh, yeah.
If he plays 16 games, he's going to take us far. How far is far? Who knows? That's a lot of factors. That's what goes on in the league. You never know. We only lost to Seattle by 10 last year. You know, they didn't play great football, and they lost every game where a team scored more than 24 points. So that's just that to look at. And the Eagles didn't score more than that, and they turned the ball over twice in that game. So,
definitely. So, I mean, before we get into the draft pick, I want to point out the transactions that occurred before the draft. So it's easy to pinpoint, you know, what hole is still left to fill.
Right.
So here we got going on the out. Todd Harriman,
right.
So you need offensive line help. But you knew you needed offensive line help before that.
See, I don't know about the offensive line help immediately, because you had five guys on the offensive line last year in the preseason who weren't the starters, who played pretty well in the preseason. Now, they're young and raw, but they all got playing time. So offensive line was a future need, a need 3 years from now. But I'll give you a keep going.
I think it's 3 years is going to be too long.
You need to develop a guy 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
So I do agree. Next year is probably a year. If they don't address the next year, then start scratching your head.
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy.
Jeremy Maclin.
Big holes.
Nick Foles. Trent Cole. Kerry Williams. And Bradley Fletcher.
The first replacement for Andy Reid's team, gone. So they're the first failures of Chip Kelly, because these guys they signed. Now, I don't know who else was signed that year, who else was available, who else they could have even gotten a draft. I don't know how much better they could have done over these last couple of years, but they were failures for Chip. So that's one slate against him.
So on the inbound, we have Brad Jones.
Good depth.
I assume he's just going to be a Casey Matthews like player.
I mean, he's way more talented than that.
Yeah, but he's not going to come in and start.
But finish, because after that I have to.
Sam Bradford, DeMarco Murray.
Big addition.
Ryan Matthews.
Even bigger addition, I think, with the adding of DeMarco Murray.
Byron Maxwell. Walter Thurman. Keep going on, Zell.
So what I see, and now you see another inside linebacker in the draft, too. So
yeah, we'll get to him.
I'm just saying, you see a lot more depth in the linebacker core. You see more depth at cornerback. And I think what they're going to do, where they're going to move from, I was listening to 94 one earlier, and he was basically saying, Josh McGinnis was basically saying that as long as we are, who's the guy that does the night show?
The night show?
On WIP.
The
new guy from Texas.
He does a daytime show now.
No, yeah, that's right. I did hear him. What's his name again?
Josh Ennis.
Josh Ennis. It's my fault. But he was saying, as long as our time of possession is the way it is, you're going to tire out the defense and they're not going to be productive no matter who you put on it. And that's right to a point, and I think Chip's addressing that in a different way than people might think. Now, he goes with DeMarco Murray, and Ryan Matthews with power runner. So you figure they're going to run the ball more than they even have in the last 2 years, which is surprising because they've run it an awful lot. But you go into that now, you have depth at cornerback. You have depth at safety. You have depth at inside linebacker. You need some depth at outside linebacker still, but I think they're hoping that some of these inside linebackers can play situational pass rushers, Pico Alonso and Michael Kendricks being two of the guys who can be thrown in on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, like...
But what I'm saying is they're going to play more players with less plays. Because Kyrie Williams, Bradley Fletcher, and D'Amico Ryans over the last 2 years, now, before that injury to D'Amico Ryans, they had played more plays than any three players on the defensive side of the ball. That's going to wear you down. But if you use two or three, if you're rotating your defense just like you're rotating your offense more, because you're going to see five or six receivers and all of them are going to get used, you know, why not do that on the defense? Why not do that from your running back core? Why not do it with your tight end? So now you can run as fast as you want because 53 players on the roster, 46 active, 46 players are getting on the field. They all have a role. They all have plays they're going to run, and they're going to fit a mold. By that context, I see Chip Kelly in 3 years having, you know, instead of $5, $10, $12 million, he's going to have 25 $5 million players who work amazingly well together. And I bet that'll work pretty well. Ask Bill Belichick. Put one quarterback in the midst of veteran game managers in a way. Now, Bill Belichick had good players in there too. But for the most part, it was cogs in the machine that win you championships.
Cogs in the machine that win you championships.
You know what I mean? It's not the shiny wheels.
No, I understand what you're saying.
It's not the leather interior.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
You know, it's the belt.
I mean, it does.
The lineman.
It does. I mean, look at these guys on D-line. It's ridiculous. Now they draft another 6'9" guy who runs a 4.8 with a 34-inch vert. Give him 2 years. I mean, you can't move that. No, I agree. I mean, we can go over the draft picks right now if you want. For everybody out there listening, the call number is 347-857-4467.
Yeah, and just because before this season starts, I want to give one last tribute to Jeremy Maclin and LeSean McCoy. They were great players. They never did us dirty, especially Maclin was always a good teammate and a hard worker. But $11 million this year and $13 million this year. So, I would stand to lose them for $25 million. I'd rather have two players.
Yeah, that's fine.
They probably gained six players now. And diving in the draft, talking about this guy, Nelson.
Aguilar.
Wide
receiver out of USC.
4.42 40.
He's essentially is Jeremy Maclin.
He has the same body type. He came in almost the same size and weight as Jeremy Maclin to a T. And he plays inside and outside all over the field. They even line them up in the backfield in USC. He's played in a spread offense.
He's a return punt.
Hard worker. So we take weight off the Sproles, you know, and now you add him. So now you look at our receiving core, and you were worried about it a little bit, but now it goes like this. Miles Austin, Jordan Matthew. I'm not going in order, but Miles Austin.
I have the depth chart here.
Oh, bring it up. Let's hear it.
All right. So this is the project. This is includes the draft.
Oh, it does include the draft. Okay. It
includes the draft. On offense, we have Bradford. At running back, we have DeMarco Murray.
Uh-huh.
Wide receiver, we have Aguilar and Matthews.
Right, and then who are the receivers behind them? That's what I wanted to list all the
Well, it also has listed as the tight end is Brent Celek, and then it has the other players immediately after it just listed as Ryan Matthews, Zach Ertz, Darren Sproles, Miles Austin, and Josh Huff.
But even more than that, I mean, think about that, Riley Cooper.
Yeah, but they didn't have it. Like, I didn't look past the second.
He's lower down on the list, and I really think he'll be a solid guy. He'll probably show his guys out of work. You know what I mean? But I don't think who knows, though? If he can have the attention off him, then he can have, you know, a role at least. Because you're going to have five or six receivers. And the sad thing is, I don't think I bet Chip would cut Riley Cooper if he really could.
I think he would, too. I think so.
I don't think he wants to waste a roster spot on him. You know, because if you look after that, I mean, I'd rather have a guy like Teron Pratt, who has a 35-inch vertical at 5'11 and 195. He was in the practice squad last year, and he runs a 4.440. I'd much rather see him than Riley Cooper.
But what if he can't play?
Well, I mean, that's what you're going to see in training camp, but I'm just saying, if he's the far better player now, I don't know. I mean, can you give away a 7th-round pick at Riley Cooper for a team to just take him? Like,
I think he
only gets paid $4 or $5 million. I think it's guaranteed again next year. Because last year was the first year of the deal. This is the second year.
Usually,
it was a 5-year contract. Usually, contracts are the first 3 years are guaranteed, and the last two are options.
On the message board, we're getting that you can't come up this year because it'll be a bigger cap hit.
You're going to get a cap hit this year and next year. After this year, next year, you probably can. You could probably just pay him the last $4 million you owe him. Or, you know what I mean, maybe a team will be more ready to trade him. But who knows? If you see...
Bury him on the depth chart. Just bury him on the depth chart.
But, like, if you look at how Chip Kelly wants to do it, like, a wasted spot on a roster, especially, like, a receiver, when you have young guys, that's a big deal. If he's not producing, like, he can't be on the team. That's a big deal. That could be an extra D-back. You know what I mean? That could be an extra... wide receiver, you know, tight end, and another speedster on the roster. Because you figure, you know, you want Miles. I mean, I like Cooper's size, and he's a big guy. So Miles Olsen and Cooper is big guys, is red zone threats. I like that. But Jordan Matthews, I don't ever want him off the field.
No. He's got to be your number one receiver by
and
far.
And I think he can be that number one receiver. I mean, he was it his whole life before that, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. And that's what I really want to preface before everything we say. This is so early, and especially a guy like Chip, he's going to give every guy on the roster a big chance to improve the best he can and get starting time on this roster. Nobody is safe.
No, I agree. Nobody is safe. And then rounding out the offensive depth chart is Jason Peters, Evan Mathis, Jason Kelce, Allen Barbary, and Lane Johnson. You know, starters across the offensive line.
Well, it's funny, Allen Barbary played pretty well last year in place of, you know what I mean, I think he played right guard and left guard, and even Matt Tobin played right guard and left guard. Matt Tobin was injured by a high ankle sprain, and that's an injury, it's a nasty injury, especially for offensive linemen in the trenches.
Yeah.
It's a nasty injury, it lingered all year, especially because they needed him early. He probably rushed back, you know what I mean, with trying to say he was ready before, because especially these offensive linemen, I mean, Todd Herman's played with the MCL, ACL tear and leg breaking.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. John Runyon. Before. You know what I mean? But then that probably ended his career.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
Probably.
But, I mean, he probably wanted to hang it up after that anyway. But going forward, they have a lot of depth at the offensive line already on this team. You know what I mean? They have probably 3 or 4 guards, centers, you know what I mean, to put in that spot.
How good are they?
That's really what you're going to see. But, I mean, if you have... I mean,
like just
because
you have somebody on the roster,
listen,
to put there, it doesn't mean that it's going to work
terrible
out.
Terrible here, right? Well, he went to San Diego and he did pretty well. And you know why? Because the other 4 guys on the line know what they're doing. So, like, if you have 4 Pro Bowlers on your line and all this other guard has to do is hold his ground, you know what I mean, and do his job, he's not asked to do too much, as long as he's not blowing. I mean, if it was a tackle we needed this year, I'd be worried.
Listen. That was a really scary scenario you just brought up, because we don't want that to happen to Byron Maxwell. Is he a product of with Chancellor, Thomas, and Sherman?
No, because he was targeted most out of all of them, and he still came up good.
I'm just saying, I don't like the scenario that you just brought up.
Not in this defense. He's made for this defense. This is what Bill Davis wants to run. I don't want to say like a Seattle defense, this is a 3-4. But he wants to run press man coverage and get in people's face, and that's what Maxwell does well. He didn't sign the best next to Darrell Revis press man corner in the free agency to make him play zone.
Right.
So they're going to do what's good, and they have 1 good safety, and you're going to need 1 more good safety. But the point is, we made it by with Reed Allen. Not only did we make it by, we didn't make the playoffs, we didn't go anywhere, but like, we're going to be better than Nate Allen at that other safety spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be like me playing safety. Well, I mean, he's terrible.
Well, let me break out the defensive depth chart. All right. So we have, as a base, 3-4 was what it was.
Okay.
We have Fletcher Cox, Cedric Thornton.
Uh-huh.
And
Beanie Logan.
It's Benny.
Benny Logan.
I can't stand it. Everybody calls him Beanie.
I bet he hates that.
His name is Benny.
Who would call, you know, Benny. Beanie's not a real name.
No, it's Benny. Benny Logan. Then at linebacker, you have Kendricks, D'Amico Ryan, Connor Barwin, and Brandon Graham. Kiko Alonso is listed as his second string.
Oh, yeah, because he's coming off that injury. But then you got Kiko Alonso, Brad Smith, Nigel Goody, and
Brad Jones. His name is Brad Jones.
Brad Jones and Emmanuel Acho.
Acho.
So you have depth, and the guy Goody was coming into last year. I mean, he tore his ACL, but like you've seen players come back from that. He was looking pretty good, and the Eagles were really excited about him. So he can be a guy who can really come in and compete on special teams and be a part of this team. So, I mean, they could really realistically go 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, they have 6 inside linebackers, and now with guys, 7 inside linebackers who can play. You're not going to keep all of them, obviously.
No.
But then again, when you look at their outside linebackers, outside of Connor Barwin and Brandon Graham, it's bleak. You know, Marcus Smith is who he is. You don't know. Not sure. I mean, he was a first-round pick last year, but he hasn't shown anything, so you can't even guarantee he'll make the roster this year.
He'll make the roster.
He'll probably make the roster just because you have to give him another year. But then after that, you have Brian Braman, who played decent. He was okay.
Let me tell you a little bit about him real quick. I met him one time.
Yeah.
He is the skinniest-looking linebacker I've ever met in my life.
Right. He's a little small. I think that's the knock on him.
Like, I don't get it.
But he's a good pass rusher. He's a good situational pass rusher. But I don't know how much time he can play. And then Travis Long coming off of ACL. So you might see a situation where you're only keeping 3 outside linebackers and 5 or 6 inside linebackers. And then you can rotate guys like Brad Jones, Goody, and Acho in and put guys like Kiko Alonso and Kendricks in pass rushing situations. That's the way I see them going. I think they went big on inside linebacker because they have Kiko Alonso and Michael Kendricks have a different play set. Now, I know a lot of people think that Kelly wants to get rid of Michael Kendricks, but I haven't seen anything of the sort. I mean, if it didn't happen by now, who are you going to trade Boykin and Kendricks for now? Stay in the game?
No, all
I've
the,
never seen a player trade for player at this point. You know what I mean? It would be a real shock if anything were to happen in that list. And that wheel. Now, after this year, who knows? But if Kendricks plays 16 games well, I find it hard to believe you get rid of him as the fastest, maybe the fastest inside linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah, he is pretty quick.
He's a little small, and I think that's why people don't think Chip is his guy. But, I mean, this is a guy who's performed early in his career. So if he gets his health together and puts a little bulk on, I mean.
Well, let me give you the secondary depth chart. This is going to be a little interesting for you. You ready?
Yeah.
At corner, we have Byron Maxwell.
That's the only set corner spot, by the way.
The other one is Eric Lowe.
Yep. I do like that.
Then they have at safety listed Malcolm Jenkins and Earl Wolfe.
Earl Wolfe. See, I really want to believe he's going to win it. That's my dark horse. That's my gut telling you from what I've seen his rookie year. If he's healthy this year, now that's another if, but the way I look at it is the first year he elected not to have surgery. You know, he's going through this before. First year he elected not to have surgery. After that, he wasn't able to really condition himself and get into football shape in his second year, so he decided to have the surgery. Now, this is his third year. So now this is the year after the surgery. So now you're going to have to see how he comes back. This is really his last chance. Third-year player is usually when you see the biggest leap. So his film work, and now you say a lot of people have said that he's a hard worker. You know, he spent all last offseason right up on Malcolm Jenkins' hip. And if he can learn anything from Malcolm Jenkins, if he can be half of what Malcolm Jenkins is and give you 10, 12, 16 games, then, yeah, I think that that's definitely a good guy to start there. Especially, I think Eric Rowe has a better chance to start in his corner.
Well, real quick, I just want
to... I don't want to see him jump
real quick,
through.
I just want to talk, how about the Cowboys getting Byron Jones and getting... the Gregory.
Randy Gregory.
Yo.
I mean,
both of those guys can play, and they both went to a division rival. That's going to be a problem in the future.
Yeah. I mean,
but at the same point, Jason Garrett's the coach, so I'm not worried about
it. I'm not scared about Byron Jones. I think he has combine overrated all over him. You know, I think the Cowboys got wowed. He moved up the draft board late, and that always worries me. Especially when you look at every cornerback in the draft, and I'm going to segue a little bit to the Eagles picks right after this point, but every cornerback in the draft has holes, things they don't do well. And even Byron Jones, I mean, he didn't always show that speed and that athletic ability on tape. And before the combine, you know, people were kind of low on him. And he didn't really play great. And, you know what I mean, he didn't start his whole career. And even if you look at the guys like Trey Waynes, he kind of doesn't play fluid sometimes, and he gets caught in his hips, and a few of the other good corners. Like, when I looked at the difference between Eric Rowe, who we got 47th overall, and the four corners picked in the first round, and in the beginning of the second round, there's not much separating that. And even from our sixth-round picks, they all have holes. There's no real solution. There's no great corner that came out of this class.
We can run through the draft picks right here. I have them right here. You know, we have Nelson Aguilar, wide receiver, USC, first round.
Yeah.
Good pick. Second,
And now, you want to talk about the combine. Eric Rowe, who's our second-round pick,
destroyed
the combine. 4.45 40, 19 reps, 39-inch vertical at 6'1", which is great for a corner or a safety, and a 3.97 shuttle, under 4. Now, let me explain this to you. The players who ran the best 40s in the draft did not crack a 4 on their shuttles. So this means this guy is quick off the jump. He's quick in and out of his cuts, which is perfect for a corner or a safety. And now you want to know what the Eagles want. It's a safety who can cover. That sounds like what Eric Rowe is. Sounds like the perfect. He sounds like almost a prototype Malcolm Jenkins, and he's a little faster, to be honest.
Well, yeah, he's younger too. He's faster. I think he's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins, I believe, maybe about 5'11".
Right. So 6'1". That's why I think 6'1", he kind of plays better as a corner. But I mean, if the biggest hole is, I feel like we have guys at corner. And talking about cornerbacks, we have 11 cornerbacks on this roster, including draft picks and everything. Now, 5 of those 11 cornerbacks run a 4.4 40 time. 6 of those cornerbacks are 5'11 or taller. So you're seeing a prototype. Now, most of those, I think the only one, Brandon Boykin, is the smallest corner on the team at 5'10". So he's the only one. So you have 4 cornerbacks who are 5'11 or taller, and run a 4.4 40. And now I don't know, I didn't look up Maxwell's 40, so I didn't put him in that 40 stat. I don't think he's that fast. Maybe probably 4.5, I would say, because I mean, if you're going to play press bump run, you got to be pretty quick. And I know he's taller than 5'11", definitely. So you're going to definitely have plenty of guys. And now in that group, even more so, you have guys like Jalen Watkins, who could be a cornerback or safety. You know what I mean? Walter Thurman can play inside or outside. Boykin, who knows? He might be the outside guy. You never know. I mean, people say Chip don't like him. You know, he's going to be here this year. And I'll tell you right now, he's not losing the slot job. I feel like they're probably going to keep him there just because of the depth they have now. But who knows if he gets some reps outside if some injuries happen. But, I mean, looking at their safety, yeah. I mean, unless one of the... I guess the other horses in this race is Ed Reynolds.
No.
He's a 4.5 40 and a 33-inch
vert. We're just gonna move away from him.
I mean, 6'1", 210. I mean, the only reason I mention is because it's another guy who's a safety for them, who's 6 foot or taller, weighs 210, and runs in the 4.5s. That's a safety. I mean, how many of these guys can you get without hitting on one? And mind you, you want to throw him out. His father was an NFL player, and a pretty good one.
I agree. I mean,
so I mean,
he carries the family genes,
right? You know what I mean? I mean, it really, if he was 5'10" and ran a 4.6, you say no way. But at 6'1" and you run a 4.5, hey,
anything's possible.
So I mean, when you have, and even the two special teams guys, Chris Margos and Prosnowski. I mean, I think Margos is the better. And I actually looked up his combine, to be honest, just to see like where his measurables were. And this is a guy who's 5'11", 200, and runs a 4.4 with a 36-inch foot. So he has the measurables to play safety. He's been learning for 3 years. Who knows? He might be the guy. I mean, you've seen that. And you Philadelphia Eagles fans, I don't know if Justin can interrupt me with this guy's name before I say it, but who's the safety who started off as a special teams dynamo and ended up a 10-year starter?
I have no idea.
A guy by the name of Clinton Michael.
No. Okay. He's not good.
Who?
Okay. Clinton Michael is not good.
He was a serviceable
safety
for us.
No, he's not good. He wasn't good here.
He was a long Brian Dawkins.
He wasn't good here.
But no, him and Michael Lewis were a good set of safeties.
No, they weren't. I mean, did he play in the Pro Bowl? So?
I'm just saying.
Nick Foles won Pro Bowl MVP. What?
Yeah, but he got it. He wasn't even supposed to be in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, so what? Nick Foles made it.
And you know what that's...
I'm offended that you brought up Quentin Michael.
I'm just saying he's a guy who... You don't need... You could use a Quentin Michael. That's all you need is a Quentin Michael. You don't need a Brian Dawkins to go along Malcolm Jenkins. You have the core big-name guy with Maxwell and Jenkins. You need a complement to that, which is a guy who just does not fight on the run. You have a front seven that stops the run. So what does that other safety have to do?
Don't get beat deep.
I mean, how many...
And what happened against Arizona?
This is Nate Allen. He never keeps... Ever since they played that wide nine, it just ruined him because he always gets his eyes caught in the backfield. And you know what I mean? You make a bad habit, and it's hard to break. And he would try to break it, and he'd look good at times, and he forced fumbles, and he had picks. But guess what? He stunk it up when it mattered. They got him to bite way too many times. I mean, how many times Kerry Williams should not... I mean, you're not even talking about... Not even talking about the Arizona play. Talk about DeSean Jackson. How many times is Kerry Williams running by himself with DeSean Jackson? That's not the defensive playbook. I'll tell you right now, there's no way that Bill Davis called a defense in which DeSean Jackson was covered one-on-one, man-to-man by Kerry Williams. There's no way. I don't believe he's that stupid. I can't believe it because you had him.
We all have to hope that he's not that stupid.
This is the guy you had on your team. Nobody. Darrell Revis could not cover him one-on-one. He would beat him.
I mean, there's only one person
eight out of
in the
10,
NFL.
8 out of 10 plays.
There's only one person.
And we had him for 2 years.
No.
Patrick Peterson.
There you go.
Yeah, he will shut him down. And, Patrick Peterson shut Jeremy Maclin down a couple years ago, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Patrick Peterson,
he has the speed. Those little quick receivers, I mean, that's just what he wants to cover. Try to run deep on me. That's where you're not going to beat me. You know, the big receivers can beat him up like Calvin has him because he can jump and make that contested.
Oh, yeah, Calvin carves him up every time they play.
But I think, you know,
Calvin
carves
him
right now. I don't know about Aguilar. I think he's going to be the complement to Jordan Matthews.
Well, yeah, they have him listed as, you know, the number two start wide.
Definitely, and I think that's definitely where he's going to go. I mean, you're going to see Miles. Now, what I think you're going to see is Miles Olsen is going to get a lot of snaps, and Miles Olsen is a guy who's played inside or outside, so. Really, looking at the depth chart, who's really lining up number two, who's lining up number three is irrelevant because all these guys are going to play everywhere. I mean, they're going to go three wide, four wide. And now I think you're okay to more go four wide more often now than they did last year, I think, because you're going to have maybe not as good a receiving core, but a deeper receiving core. And you're going to have more receivers who block. Because Maxwell was a willing blocker. He was a little weak. But this other guy's a good blocker. And Miles Olsen's a big guy. You know, and Jordan Matthews is a big guy, and they know how to block.
Absolutely. And, I mean, like, there's just certain things I'm worried about, and it's the things that they're easy to fix, and he's not fixing them.
What is your biggest complaint with Chip Kelly so far? Like, what would one thing you would change about this team make up?
I think he's... Well, no, it's only one thing.
Right.
I think he gave up too much in the Sam Bradford trade. I think he screwed up by giving up the second round pick. Now, I also think that he screwed up beating the Giants at the end of last year.
I don't think that matters.
Because it would have given them pick 15 instead of pick 20.
But what would that have done? Who would they have gotten at 15?
It's easier to move up from 15 than it is to 20.
I don't think those five picks were enough. I mean, if it's true that Cleveland offered 12 and 19 and it wasn't enough, that could have been the I believe, you know what, I saw a 22-minute press conference with Chip Kelly today. I believe him when he says that, yeah, we had talks, and he agrees with that. But he's like, it never got serious because we were never close. He's like, yes, everybody's available on this team, but we're probably never going to hear the offer we want to hear that's worth it. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, Evan Mathis is on the board if someone gives us a first-round pick. How do you turn down a first-round pick?
Yeah, I mean, everybody on the roster is available if the price is right.
Right.
So you got to remember, I forgot to mention this earlier when we were talking about him. Michael Kendricks is on a contract year.
This year?
Yeah.
Does he have, I think he might have an option for next year.
Remember they had to pick it up.
They didn't pick it up.
Nope.
Hmm. Well, you know what? I think that's more for him injury.
For all of you out there that didn't realize it, I was shaking my head now.
Yeah, I just think that with his injury history, I think they'll pay him if he has a good year and he plays all year. But if he misses four, five, six games again, I find it hard pressed that they keep him.
I heard Chip has soured on him a little bit because of how long it took him to come back from an injury last year. He came back
sooner. And you know what? I remember that. And I think he made him look bad because everybody's asking. We're like, he's the day to day for 3 weeks.
Yeah. You know, I think he missed five or six games, didn't he?
I think four.
Four? I don't know.
Maybe four or five. You know, I'm not positive on the exact numbers. But yeah, he definitely missed time. He missed time, you know, his rookie year. He missed time. I mean, this is what it's going to be, his fourth season?
Yeah, fourth season.
So he missed time all
He came in the same season as
Brandon,
Fletcher Cox.
And Brandon Boykin. That's the core. And you know what? If you look, you know, I'd like to keep Fletcher Cox and Michael Kendricks together. And, you know, if there's one guy I want to keep on more on the team than anybody, it's probably Fletcher Cox. He's probably the best player on the team. So,
yeah, probably. I'd be
very upset if we lose him. But if you look at the defensive line, I mean, that's probably our deepest spot. But to me, I'd like to have one stud in the, like, I was telling Justin before, to have a good defense, or offense for that matter, you need one stud at every level. And, like, so you need a great defensive lineman, you need a great linebacker, and you need a great person in the secondary.
Right.
And then after that, you need guys who can fill it. So if you're asking me now, to me, I think I feel like they'll sign Kendricks if Kiko Alonso doesn't play well. And vice versa, if Kiko Alonso plays well, I think they move on from Kendrick.
Well, they can let him walk at the end of the year without a problem.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can just let him stroll on
right
here.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I would prefer to get something out of it. You know, I don't want to see any players walk for no reason.
But, I mean, you can't keep everybody. You know, it happened to Macklin.
Yeah,
so it might happen to Kendricks, you know, if he gets paid too much. But I feel like I said, D'Amico Ryans isn't going to be here. So it's going to be dependent on what they see from these rookies, you know, these young guys who are coming in, what they see from Kendricks this year, and what Kiko Alonso can do. Because you need two linebackers, and D'Amico Ryans is not in the future of a three-year plan. He's here this year.
Yeah, and next year, Joe.
Because
they gave him the extension.
Yeah, but, like, you don't know what you're getting out of him next year.
That might have been a cap move more than anything, giving him the extension for next year. Because it cost him
a little more money over the two-year span, but it was cheaper against the cap.
This year, yeah.
But, you know, right now they're doing pretty good with the cap. They're right under. They got everybody they wanted. They're at the 90-man limit. And, you know, now you're looking at, you might say, ooh, $13 million for Sam Bradford. But if you're not going to make a move to get, you know what I mean,
that's $13 million off your cap now if you let him walk after this year.
But either way, he's not going to make $13 million after this.
No, absolutely not. I'd be shocked.
Even if he has one
good
year, right, he'll make about eight, you know, seven or eight. But that's what I mean. So it's really a low risk move. A lot of money over 1 year is not a big deal. It's not going to kill your team. It's just you do it. I mean, it's the Ryan Howard paradox. You do it for 5 years, then you're upset. So, I mean, this I just don't see Mark Sanchez taking us to more than 10 wins. Maybe he gets 9, 10 if it's just him. But I don't, I mean, even if he comes in and we're 5-2 again or 6-2 again, you know, I don't think he's going to take us to that next step, even though the end of our schedule is easy. So Sam Bradford can give us 6-8 games, and then we move to Mark Sanchez, but we're not going to win in the playoffs. We're not going to beat those best teams, I think, with Sanchez. I mean, you know, this is a guy who went to 2 AFC championships. You got to give him some credit. You got to give him some kind of, but that was probably the best defense in the league at that time. Great running game. He threw out a play action, and I think they had Braylon Edwards most of those years too. So he had a decent, you know, a decent skill set around him. But I really don't think that you're going to recreate him, Mark Sanchez going back deep in the playoffs. Is he going to beat? Look at the teams you're going to have to beat. You're going to beat Green Bay, Arizona, Seattle. These are the teams you're going to beat next year. Carolina might have a better year.
Absolutely.
These are the teams you're going to, you know, need to play against.
Absolutely. And we got a guest up on the line, and he is Darren DeGentano. Catch him over at Wildfire Radio, right at vdbrown.com. Catch him on WIP2. And, of course, you know, anything NFL and Eagles, you know, he's the man to go to if you want, you know, to get a scoop on the Eagles. And we're bringing him on now. Hey, Darren, how's it going? Thanks for taking time out to join us tonight.
No problem. I will apologize in advance if I'm a little lack of energy this evening. I just basically got off an airplane, you know, drinking and been in the sun for 4 days in Mexico for my sister-in-law's wedding. So I'm a hurting pup right now.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I wish we all could have been lounging in Mexico, get home, get to see, you know, that we got Jeremy Maclin 2.0 added to the roster. We didn't do the deal. You know, what are your thoughts as a whole at looking at this draft? Did Chip do a good job, or did he kind of,
well,
you know,
I actually thought, I give them about a B. I think they were a solid draft in that the first two picks, and the word that I've been using the most to describe basically this draft is versatility. You look at a guy like Nelson Aguilar, and Jeremy Maclin is a very fair comparison. Because Aguilar is not a burner. He's not going to hit the home run ball for you necessarily, but he runs a good route, and you can move him around. You can line him up in the slot. You can split him out wide. I won't be surprised at all if Kelly puts him in the backfield. I think he'll be a nice toy for Chip to play with. And as far as their second pick, I'm not going to tell you. I knew a lot about Rowe until recently, because I don't watch a lot of Utah college football, unfortunately. But he is another guy who's versatile, who can play cornerback. He can play safety. He says his strength is at the cornerback position, and we'll see. I think it'll give him a shot to work him out both places. Further on down the draft, Jordan Nix to me was a really kind of a weak pick. He's a light kid for an inside linebacker. He could. I do see him being maybe a more of a special teams contributor, but he's not really. I mean, look, he will provide depth at a position. You look at the Eagles 3 months ago, right? And if we were talking about them then, we probably would have said linebacker is a concern. As good as Barwin and Kendricks are, you know, Ryan's was hurt. You know, Kendricks had spent some time hurt this year. Brandon Graham is a huge question mark. But now if you look at that linebacking core with Alonzo, with Ryan's coming back healthy, thank God they held on to Michael Kendricks, who I think is a rising star. You know, that's actually a position of strength for them right now. They've got a lot of depth there. I love what they did, moving a fourth rounder for a third rounder. Anytime you can add that kind of value is a great move. I thought that was a solid move when Clemmings, the offensive lineman from Pittsburgh, was unavailable. They decided to move out of that slot. I think he was taking three spots ahead of him. And then if you look at the guys they took on the back end, the only one that really stood out to me was the kid from Kansas State, Randall Evans. He's a cornerback. Another guy who's versatile. He's played safety in his career. Decent size, about 6'1", 190. His strength is press man, which is a necessity in Billy Davis's scheme. He's going to run that single high all day with that center field safety, and he leaves his cornerbacks out on an island. You got to be able to play press. Bradley Fletcher's strength last year is he's a zone cornerback. He's not as bad a cornerback as he was made out to be last year. He just was playing out of his strength. So we'll see. I think Randall Evans might be a decent contributor down the road.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be there's a lot of guys who can compete early enough for this job. And what I really think I see is they're just stockpiling, I guess what I want to call it, the Chip Kelly guy. The size, weight, speed, and he's probably about, six cornerbacks over 5'11", you know, five cornerbacks who run 4'4". So you have
right.
the size and speed. I mean, two or three of these guys are going to come by, and you have the corner pieces in Jenkins and Maxwell. And I really just think he really, you know what I mean, they were bad against third and long. So, you address the secondary, you address the defense. They gave up a lot of big plays. You address that part. Now the turnovers, they try to get a different quarterback. Hopefully, they get more physical running back. And the red zone, and on top of that, you saw our biggest struggles probably, people forget, you want to forget, really, the two big games we lost last year against Arizona and San Fran, though. One
right.
play difference on third and goal, and now who do you bring in? The best power running back in the league. But really,
yeah.
How far do you think this team can go? And is it really all about Bradford?
As much as I'll laud what they've done on defense this offseason, and I do like a lot of the things they've done, I'm a big fan of Kiko Alonso. Byron Maxwell was the guy you had to go out and sign. And some decent rookie additions here. I like what they did on the defensive side of the ball. I'll be very honest. I don't like anything they've done on the offensive side of the ball. I know that DeMarco Murray is a power runner, and he's more of a one-cut guy, and everybody and their mothers screaming to the high heavens about one-cut running backs. I'll take Shady McCoy over DeMarco Murray any day, twice on Sunday. He's a younger kid, not much younger, but he's a little younger, but he's rarely hurt. DeMarco Murray, even this year, even in the 16 games that he played, he broke his hand. He played half dozen games with a broken hand and a surgically repaired hand, I should say. So between him and Matthews, and then you add Sam Bradford in the mix. I know Nick Foles is not exactly Tom Brady, but, you had Macklin last year, you had McCoy last year, and for the first 11 games or so, you had Nick Foles. You had a much younger, flashier offense last year that, to me, on paper, now looks older and looks brittle. And, the offensive line was not addressed in any way this offseason. In fact, they went backwards, when they didn't sign Hermans. So they didn't address it really with anybody in the draft at all and in free agency. And, Jason Peters has been around a long time. He's given a lot to this team, but he's on the decline. Evan Mathis is the oldest starting guard in football. Jason Kelce, as tremendous a run blocker he is against in pass protection, he gets bowled over by bigger defensive linemen. And now you've got a quarterback in Sam Bradford whose knees are made of straw, who you really need to protect. And the offensive line, to me right now, is the biggest concern on the team, even more than the quarterback.
That you definitely made some great points, and I agree. I think from this year to last year, there's probably more questions than answers we got from Chip Kelly this year and now.
This is a crazy conversation I had today with someone. As wild and as anticipatory the season was, Chip Kelly's rookie season, right? It was so anticipated, everybody was on edge. That's dwarfed by the anticipation coming into this season because of all of these new bodies. Because of all these new names. And that's the other thing to keep in mind, too. The schedule looks, really easy. They made some great additions, at least on paper, on defense. But you've got a lot of new bodies starting in that starting 22. And that takes time. I don't care if you put 22 Hall of Famers together. It takes – you're talking a month and a half just to get your – just to get on the same page on game day. So the first month of the season – will be tough to judge. I know it's fairly easy. Atlanta will be improved, but I think they have the Jets, a week 49er team, or I don't have the schedule in front of me, but the first month of the season is certainly to the Eagles' advantage as far as schedule. But, you know, again, they got to gel. I mean, it's a lot of new bodies out there. A lot of new communication has to be learned, and that takes time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I just think that I just agree there because if you really look at it, you know, you're going to need chemistry more than anything.
Yeah.
Great football teams are built through the draft. And if you've looked over history, signing this many guys and making this many moves isn't really been, you know, successful.
It's never worked.
It
really hasn't. I mean, I'm not saying this team – 3 years from now won't be a strong contender, but I mean, as far as the first year turnaround, I mean, I don't think they're a better team overall than the team that left the field against the Giants back at the end of the season. I just can't say they are right now. Now, 2 years from now, it might be different, but I look at a team, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, that has gone backwards. And everybody else in the division is getting better. I mean, Dallas had a phenomenal draft. The Giants, I thought, had a phenomenal draft. I thought the Redskins had a decent draft, not nearly as good as the New York or Dallas. But, you know, that's two teams in the division that have gotten a lot better right around us.
Absolutely. I said earlier in this show that Dallas really hit, I think, on there are Byron Jones and Gregory. Yeah.
Well, Gregory, the value, they got Gregory at pick 60 because of, you know, the marijuana charge. I mean, that's unbelievable value. He was a top 10, 12 prospect. To get him at 60, you know.
And I think some of Chip Kelly's a problem for him is how successful he was in his first year. You know, he stepped in, inherited, you know, a roster that was better than it seemed, but it was still a 4-12 roster. He turns around and wins the division first year. I think his success in his first season might have hurt him, you know, a little bit in the long run, set his expectations too high. But I've been really advocating, you know. You got Todd Herrmann. We cut him, and you know, I'm on board with that move. You know, it was time to move on from there. But his offensive line, specifically on the left side, is aging. You know, Jason Peters, as good as he still is, isn't what he was, you know, 2-3 years ago. And it's really disturbing that Chip Kelly's not addressing the offensive line. If he doesn't do it next year, that's really when you start to throw the red flag up and really start questioning his decision making.
Well, you know, I'll give him this. Last offseason, there was a clear concentration on improving the special teams. You look at the guys they brought in, Maragos, the big kid from Houston, Brian, his name is escaping me right now, certain draft picks that were major special teams contributors. Dave Fitt turned that special teams around this year and probably won 3 or 4 games for them solely on special teams. This year, the clear concentration was on defense. You know, maybe next year, maybe that was the plan all along. I hope that was the plan. I don't really see a consistent plan this offseason outside of the defense, but some of the moves he's made, I feel like he's throwing wet paper towels against the wall. You know, very concerning. You know, the running back particularly, I honestly believe that the DeMarco Murray signing was more of a panic move than anything else. There was major backlash from fan base when McCoy was traded. What are we going to do now? I just think if he would have slowed down a little bit and really looked at this draft, this draft over the weekend was the deepest running back draft that I've seen in it. I mean, you got – there were starters, day one starters picked in the 4th and 5th round this year. And you could have drafted a running back, saved yourself the $8 million a year they're paying them. And you know, that goes a long way. I mean, that's a pretty long-term deal they gave DeMarco Murray. And a lot of that money is guaranteed over the next few years. So I just – some of the moves and some of the things he's done this offseason, I just wish he would have slowed down a bit. And it's – so it's very difficult for me to really see – you know, to really see what we're going to get out of this team this year. The quarterback isn't even throwing, isn't even going to be throwing the ball until training camp. I mean, there's a very good chance, a strong chance that your starting quarterback against Atlanta is going to be Mark Sanchez, who they're paying $7 million a year to, which blows my mind. I think you guys were talking about that before I came on. They've got $20 million this year committed to Sam Bradford and Mark Sanchez. Sam Bradford, again, won't be throwing in full training camp, and Mark Sanchez can't throw a 15-yard out anymore. That's a lot of money to have tied up into two very risky quarterbacks.
No, I definitely agree with that, and especially with the quarterback situation. But you know what? You look around, like, let's see, they make a crazy trade for Mariota. I like Foles, but I don't think he's much better than Mark Sanchez or Bradford. But I just wonder, my question for you is that, do you think it's Chip Kelly's overconfidence that he's going away from offense? Do you think he thinks he can get production out of a lesser talent?
I think offensively he relies more on his system than personnel. I think defensively, he puts more of a concentration on personnel, or at least he talks about it, giving his defensive coordinator, Billy Davis, getting him more, getting the personnel that he wants. But I think he relies on his system on the offensive side of the ball, and that can be dangerous. Because players win football games in the NFL. You can get away with that at the college level if you got a strong system and you got speed. But at the pro level, you need the right players, because at the pro level, all the defensive players are just as fast as your fastest offensive player. So I think he relies a little bit too much on his scheme right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Every time you go up to the next level, you know, everybody's just as big and just as fast as you are. And we don't want to take up too much time, so, you know, we'll get you out of here after, you know, this last question. But I saw the report today that I believe it was three Eagles scouts were fired today from the you know, the personnel department. What impact does that have? Like, does that normally happen, like, the day or 2 days after the draft?
Yeah, that's not uncommon. There's you know, I got a bunch of phone calls about that today. That's not necessarily uncommon when you've got a new head of player personnel. They fired their director of scouting. They also fired their West Coast scouting manager, and I forget who the third scout, you know, another area head of scouting for another area of the country as well. That's not uncommon. You got Ed Manowitz now, who's taking over personnel department. He doesn't have the GM title, but he does have the director of player personnel. And that's and when that happens, you usually wait till after the draft. I think a couple other teams did the same thing today. They purged their scouting departments. And all the teams that did, the only one that comes to mind right now is the Jets. And I think there was one or two more. They're all teams that either new head coaches or new general managers, because they want their own guys coming in. The reason they wait till right after the draft is you don't want to blow a guy out 3 weeks before the draft, and now other teams are picking his brain, will offer you a job. What are the Eagles going to be doing? What's their plan? What are they? Who they've been looking at for the last few months? So that's why those decisions are passed on shortly after the draft each year.
Right. Awesome. Hey, Darren, thanks a lot for taking the time out to join us tonight. We really appreciate it, and we hope
anytime,
to have you back.
Guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot, everybody. That was Darren D'Agostino. Like I said, you can catch him on Wildfire Radio, vdbrown.com. Catch him also over on WIP. And, you know, he's pretty much an all-around expert on NFL games. So,
and, hey, I'll tell you right now, I agree. And I'm as suspicious as him about this team, about what's going on. Now, as an Eagles fan, I always try to project the best. But when you really look at this team, there's so many questions. I mean, does DeMarco Murray play 16 games? Can Ryan Matthews play 5 games when DeMarco Murray gets hurt? These are two guys, two running backs, who over the last year, a couple of years, are probably the two injury-ridden running backs. Now, their upside and their talent is great. So maybe Chip thinks with those two and then Darren Sproles, it's enough. Now, mind you, he let go of Chris Polk.
Yes, we did. I
don't know if he signed anyone.
He did.
Yet.
He did. I'm asking you to look that up while you
look. Yeah, look that up.
I looked that up, but he did.
We removed our restricted franchise tender, and you know what? I think that was a good faith move because Chris Polk didn't really want to come back here. Not that he just sees me himself as the fourth running back on the roster. He's like, how many years do I got to play special teams? I think I'm a talented running back, and he has a great case for that. And to be honest, I think we would have been fine, with Ryan Matthews, Chris Polk, and Sproles. I would have been okay with that running core. You know what I mean? It's not LeSean McCoy. And really, that move, if Kiko Alonso comes
real
in.
Real quick, let me cut you off. Yeah. He's Arian Foster's backup down in Houston.
I guess
Chris
he's
Polk.
Like Arian Foster gets hurt.
Yeah.
So, he's a handcuff.
I'll look the depth chart to see where he's going.
He's going to end as number two, and he's a very talented running back.
What about Alfred Blue, though, last year?
No, he's an average running back. I think Chris Polk is way more talented than Alfred Blue. Now he has a few years to play. His body's in great condition, and he's a special teams dynamo. You know what I mean? So he's probably going to play special teams. He might even do their kick return, to be honest.
That's a big kick returner coming back, yeah.
That's what I mean. I mean, a big running back who can move, and he's got another, he has that receiver gear after 30, 40, 50 yards, and you showed that in that 100-yard run. You know what I mean? You don't take it to the house without speed, and he ran by guys. So it was great blocking, but it was all in all a great return, and he's going to be sorely missed, and I hope we don't miss him too much. But it opens another spot for a tight end, and the Eagles didn't draft a tight end, but they didn't go offense too much on – didn't go offense too much in the draft, but after the draft, the undrafted free agents, there was quite a few. We have three wide receivers, and now, mind you, all these wide receivers, I'll start first with Rashard Bailey, 4'5", impressed quickness in the 20-yard shuttle, and he was the most productive D3 receiver, over the last 4 years. And he's had a crazy good senior campaign at 6'2", 210, 4'5". That's a receiver. So we'll see how good he is. We'll see if he, fell to it. It's a school thing. And another guy, Devontae Davis, 6'3", UNLV, second in school history in receiving yards for them. And now this is another guy at 6'3", 215, runs a 4'5", with a 35-inch vertical. And now Josh Harris. Now, mind you, this is a Texas guy, so he's a big school guy. But he was I was telling Justin earlier, he was a tight end convert. So that's why you don't see him. He only played 1 year at receiver. But in that 1 year, he had 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns for the Longhorns with 6'2", 215, 4'5", 40 with a 34-inch vertical. So he's another guy with the size and speed desired at the position. And probably he's a good blocker. So this is depth at wide receiver. They got the line depth, too. And especially for their system of line, you can find guys. You need to find guys who's quick and big, basically, and then you coach them up. That's how line's gotten. And I looked at the stat. I just want to finish this up before I forget it. I looked at the stat earlier today. It says half of starting NFL linemen were undrafted.
Does that include both offensive and defensive?
It's easier to find a guy and coach him up for offensive line.
Do you know where that D3 recruit went? The offensive lineman, where he got drafted at?
Was it Pittsburgh?
I didn't know.
I didn't see. He went kind of early.
Was he a first round pick?
I don't think he was a first. I think he was second. But
second round?
I'm not positive.
Do you remember what his name was?
There was a run.
I'll look it up.
But there was a run online in this draft. So I'm not shocked that the Eagles didn't go offensive lineman draft. I just thought that, they were going to stick to their board and they took the best guy available. Eric Rowe, they traded up for their guy. They got their guy. Nelson Aguilar. I think this receiving core is going to be okay. It might not be as good as last year, but I think, like I said, it's not as top heavy as last year, but it's deeper. I mean, that's going to be based on, and once again, you're basing this on questions. How much is this rookie going to give you? You were asking that about Jordan Matthews last year, and you got 67 receptions and 8 touchdowns. It's almost 1,000 yards receiving. So you did all right. If he gives you that, and Josh Huff gives you 50 catches, and Miles Austin gives you 50 catches.
I was watching the NFL Network probably about a week ago, and they were slamming Josh Huff on there. They did not like him at all. Now, I mean, is it because, you know, he went to
Oregon?
Oregon. And
I think
people sometimes
they get overblown in him drafting Oregon guys. I mean, I want you to draft a guy you know.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a controlled, more controlled environment. But I think the big thing for Josh Huff, and I know people want to get on him because he didn't really play at all. And when he did, he had a big fumble in Arizona that might have, you know, cost us the game. We were running up and down the field with them. And that play was a really momentum swinging play. But if you look at Josh Huff, I think the big thing for him was, I mean, he's buried on the depth chart early, obviously, but he's a guy who got hurt in training camp. And if you get hurt in training camp in the preseason, your rookie year, your chances of success are slim and none.
Absolutely.
That's the time you're going to learn. You know, so now I got a chance to sit back. They say if you're, you know, guys spend time on the sideline, they want it more. It's a reality check. It puts a little chip on your shoulder. So we'll see if Josh Huff can play with a little chip on his shoulder.
Real quick, I pulled up the Steelers draft. They did not take him, though, that offensive lineman
right.
I'm looking for. But they did in the fifth round draft Penn State tight end Jesse James.
Jesse James, that's the greatest name.
Listen. This guy is like 6'8".
That's a great name. Right. You know, they might have found – and tight end, there's deep cliffs.
Yeah,
the tight end.
Let me tell
but,
you.
But that kind of pushed their value down. Tight end went fourth, fifth
he's
round.
He's a blocking tight end.
Yeah, I think I did see that, actually. I did see that pick. And
he was rated – he got a draft rating of a B. He got in the fifth round.
And like I said, the tight end, you see, even though you use a lot of tight ends, I think there's so many of them. You know, big guys with basketball backgrounds. So, you know, they're almost more of these undersized tweener basketball players are bulking up and playing football. And it's really had an influx of, you know, it really has changed the game, to be honest, how it's played. I mean, you can look at the Eagles, you have Brent Celek and Zach Ertz and, you know, Trey Burton now. And I think with Chris Polk leaving, you know, you're going to open up another probably tight end spot unless another running back. And they do have running backs from last year and the guys on the practice squad who might compete for that fourth running back spot. But I find it hard to believe to not add another big tight end who can play on special teams.
I agree. Real quick, he went to Tampa Bay in the second round.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what they needed. They needed a lineman.
Real quick, let me talk about Jameis Winston real quick. I firmly believe that Tampa Bay should be the favorite to win that division.
I mean, no Jimmy Graham. But I'll tell you this. One thing about the Saints and Jimmy Graham, as much as Drew Brees is upset, before Jimmy Graham, the Saints won the Super Bowl, correct?
I don't know.
Yet.
When was he drafted?
Yeah, he did not. He was not on that Super Bowl
team. He wasn't a rookie?
No, he was not.
Are you sure?
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
I'll look it up right now.
Look it up.
There's a reason that I have an iPad in front of me.
But I'm telling you right now, Drew Brees was throwing for 5,000 yards before, you know what I mean? He was throwing for those yards and throwing those touchdowns way before. Marcus Colston was their best option, and they had, what, remember? It was fantasy doomland for the Saints.
It was four running backs,
five wide receivers.
Listen,
and
every week,
one of the five was.
On Thursday, we're talking, get this ready for one of the topics on Thursday. I want you to give me your top five fantasy rookies.
I will. I will get that.
And then I'm going to draft him this year, so let me know what to do.
Justin, I hate giving Justin advice in fantasy because he always gets a pick ahead of me.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And Jimmy Graham was drafted the year after that. He was a rookie when they were defending the title.
Goes to show you. And what I want you to do to look up for me, because I've been saying this for a long time and I want to know. I want to know the last guy to the last receiver, the last stud receiver, to win a Super Bowl. Now, stud, I'm talking one of the top three receivers, you know, Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, you know what I mean, since Jerry Rice. Has there been one since Jerry Rice?
Well, let's go. Who won it about last year?
I mean, don't even start in, like, the last 10 years because it hasn't happened. If you look at all the guys, Randy Moss, no ring. T.O., no ring.
Marvin Harrison hasn't won.
Marvin Harrison's probably the last one for the Colts. He was probably the last step, but he wasn't probably – I don't think he was the best guy at his position. Now, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I disagree. Marvin Harrison is up there with the greatest. I've looked at his numbers before.
His numbers
up there, and
ridiculous.
You show him the respect that he deserves.
I will show him respect, but he's not the diva receiver that I'm talking about. The top, you know what
well,
I mean? Even Calvin Johnson has not won.
Why?
A Super Bowl.
Well, no, I'm saying Marvin Harrison, what, like – He like
I guess he did. I
he's
guess
top five in like
what
every
was that,
career
2006?
Category. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been almost 10 years.
If you want, you can also go up the same side. Reggie Wayne.
I mean, but they were. But that's what I'm saying. Like that was Peyton Manning's year. But like, if you look at the dynasty of Tom Brady, and who was his best receiver? Now Gronk this time probably Gronk has been his best receiver. Deion Branch won a Super Bowl MVP. If you look at the teams who've won the Super Bowl. It's been deep teams. It's not about star players. It's not about star running backs or, you know, really it comes down to the quarterback lately. So that's why I think you had to move on from Nick Foles and take a chance because I think they thought Nick Foles is not our guy. He's not going to be our guy this year, and then we're going to lose him anyway. Why not take a chance with Sam Bradford? Maybe he's the guy. As long as there's a maybe if.
It is. I'm looking right here. It is the Colts. Colts, before that, I mean, I guess it's – Would you give it to Hines Ward?
No.
No?
I mean, San Antonio Holmes is probably the guy you want to say, but no. He wasn't top five at his position.
I mean, he's got the numbers, but I don't think he ever played that well. I mean,
no. He has, you know, he played for a long time, but I don't think he's ever been. He might have had a year or two.
You
go
back to
2000, well.
You got the Greatest Show on Turf. You know, you got
right.
Corey Holt, Bruce Isaac.
So from. And what? So from 2000 to 2014, that's 15 Super Bowls.
Yeah, we have one. No.
So I'll give Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce.
Well, I mean, this team had good players. Like, look at
good receivers. I mean, you need good. I mean, you're not going to win.
Like, no. I mean,
Aaron Rodgers, but I wouldn't say Randall Cobb.
No, look at this. Tampa Bay had Keyshawn Johnson.
That's true. Keyshawn.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I guess Keyshawn Johnson. What was that?
2003.
So, okay, since 2000. There's three.
And then
three
if you go to Pittsburgh, they had Randall L. Hines Ward.
They're still not. They were good players, but like that's almost my point exactly.
Then you go to the Packers. You had Greg Jennings over there.
But that was Greg Jennings, Donald Driver. Like they had a plethora of weapons, you know. And Greg Jennings, like as good, he's a good receiver. But it's my point. He's not a top five.
Before that, you know, you go to. The Denver Broncos series with Rod Tripp.
Right. But then again, I mean, he was their good character guy.
Yeah. You have the Cowboys in the 90s. The
Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin and
Jerry
Rice.
Well, that's what I said since Jerry Rice. So Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice, definitely. But I'm just saying, if you look at it I don't see the star players I see are on the defensive side and the quarterbacks. So
now, I will tell you this now. Had the Broncos beat the Seahawks, Demaryius Thomas would be up there.
Oh, Demaryius, yeah, he's one of the best. Yeah, but, look what happened to that offensive team. So I'm saying, beware what you risk for. You know, I don't think Macklin was the signing. I don't think spending $13 million on him was a good idea. I don't think spending $12 million on Chumskoy was a good idea.
You, listen, when you're Andy Reid and you have to go get Macklin when the whole year your wide receiver is going
to
catch
that down. Yeah, I mean, he paid him $13 million. You can't compete with that contract.
No, you have to. Yeah. You have to.
You can't get mad at that. Now, going in the future, I think you had to pay these guys on your roster that you have now. You know, Maxwell you paid, but Malcolm Jenkins you can't let go anywhere for the foreseeable future. You know, Aguilar, Melson, Matthews.
Well, we have the depth charge, right? I mean, let's see. Look at the offense. Murray and Matthews are married, too, pretty much.
Right. I mean, but their contracts are
they're not like, you know,
they have 3-year contracts.
You know,
these are guys you need to, I mean, they're
Aguilar,
a little older.
Aguilar, Matthews, you have to keep them together.
Who knows how long Sproles is going
to
be here.
Yeah, Ertz is important to keep around.
Yeah. I mean, Ertz is another young guy. You're going to have to pay him. And on defense, you know, they have the depth on linebacker, inside and out, inside at least. And I think that depth at inside, like I said before, is going to show on the outside as well. I think you're going to see, because right now they're right in the 90-man
roster.
I'll
be honest with you. I always liked Michael Kendricks better on the outside, but he didn't fit the Andy Reid's defensive scheme to play the outside.
Play DN, no.
No, play outside back. No, I'm saying he didn't fit Andy Reid to play outside backer.
Right.
And Chip moved him inside right away. I think he would be good outside. Now, I know, you know, we can knock, you know, oh, Madden's just a video game. You play Madden, you know how in-depth the computer is just as well as I do.
Yeah.
Michael Kendricks can be a difference maker outside linebacker.
He is. He is a difference maker. And I think situationally you're going to see that this year. I don't think he has the size to play it on first and second down, first to run, and that's apparent. He's probably a little small to play even inside linebacker. Those outside linebackers are usually, you know, between 250 and 275.
Yeah.
They're bigger guys. But as a pass rusher, he has the speed, and he's shown he can get after the quarterback. And they only added, you know, one outside linebacker in undrafted free agency. They didn't add any during the draft. And really, you're only looking at two guys. You know, you got the third guy in there, Brian Brayman. But
no,
he's a special teamer only. So, but he's still going to get some plays, pass rusher. I'm just saying that's the third guy on your team. I will not talk about Marcus Smith yet.
Can I tell you a funny story about when I met Brian Brayman?
I think you said it already.
No.
Before the show.
No. So I'm at every year, you know how the Eagles do that thing where they have like the Eagles tailgate, block party, pep rally thing?
Yeah.
Well, they have players that sign autographs, you know. And I went last year thinking it would be cool players, and they stuck out Brian Brayman and Robbie Cooper. You know.
The B team.
Yeah, the best players, you know. I could have had Shady and that. No. Brian Brayman and Robbie Cooper. Which, you know, they're still NFL players. So I didn't. They stick Brian Brayman down, and they don't put a name tag in front of him. So I just see this dude that's like 6'5 with long hair, and you know he looks like an NFL player. But I see him, and I see him sign and stuff like number 56. So I pull out my phone and like
look up. You have to look up who number 56 is. Yeah.
So I see it's Brian Brayman.
Oh my God.
I'm like, okay, well, who's this guy? So I start Googling him. I find out that he's like a special team beast, you know.
Right. I mean, we had the number one special teams in the league. Right?
Yeah. So I go up to him, asking like I know who he is. You know, thanks. You know,
oh, Brian.
Yeah. Sign my autograph. I go, hey, man, you know, I really like what you do on special teams. I hope you really improve the special teams here in Philadelphia. You did really good in Houston. I love watching your highlights. I haven't seen him play ever.
Right.
But he gets... I think he got offended by it because he goes, well, I really appreciate that you like my special teams, but I'm coming here to be a starter. The only thing that went through my mind was, man, we have Michael Kendricks, Connor Barwin,
Trent Cole.
Like, where are you
Brandon
starting?
Graham, where were you going to get in at?
Yeah, but like,
sadly,
I felt bad. I didn't want to be the guy that was like, you came to the wrong team to start at linebacker. We have
right.
five starters.
That's
ahead
not
of
what
you.
Chip Kelly told him.
No, but I just, like, I think I offended him by calling him a special teamer.
Yeah, but that's kind of offensive. But, I mean, a special teamer in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, you're still making $500,000.
Better than what we do.
Actually, I remember looking it up. He makes over $1 million.
So, I'm not upset for that.
No.
You're a veteran. You're making, you know what I mean, $600,000 after taxes is no joke.
No.
No,
like, he doesn't have a problem driving home in his Mercedes.
Right.
I mean,
you should be proud of what you got. I would think that a guy recognizing a special teamer for being good on special teams, I mean, that's not something the fans normally do. I would think that he would be happy with that.
Well, yeah, Wikipedia hooked me up with the drop.
And that's great. I mean, it really saves you.
Oh, yeah.
You probably got six pictures to know if it was really him. You know,
The thing is like, he had, like, long hair and a beard, and then the pictures, it was college graduation
right. Picture.
So he's like, looks like a choir boy. And I was like, wow.
That's so funny.
It's like, he looks like Jason Kelce, just minus like, you know, all the weight. And like, he's small. Like, he's 6'5", but he's only like 230.
Yeah, but like, that's what I'm saying. So he's more of a special teamer. So when you really look at it, they only have maybe four outside linebackers. And if you look at the way they played last year, no, who's going to be the third pass rusher? Is Marcus Smith going to step up? I mean, I don't think they're...
He has to.
But
he
the point is, Chip Kelly and Bill Davis' plan is
Brandon Graham will.
No. I'm not. I mean, Trent Cole. I mean, remember what happened last year? No, that's what I'm saying. Brandon Graham had 5 success last year. Trent Cole had 7 or 8. Connor Bowen had 10 or 11. You know what I mean?
So what about Bo Allen? He's a on the line. He plays the line.
He's a nose tackle.
Now, yeah, but load him up on the end. He can play him too.
I mean, I don't know, but like you still have. I'm just saying for like outside, as far as outside linebacker pass rusher. Right now, last year you had 3 good ones. Now you only have 2. And now that's a big difference because now Brandon Graham, you're going to see him all year long. He's got to play the run. He's got to do it all. I'm not saying he can or can't.
This is the year that he has to make all of us forget about.
Right.
O'Connor.
But the point is more than that. Even if he does, even if he plays at Trent Cole's level, then who's Brandon Graham this year? Because they need to improve their pass rushing. Right?
Well, I mean, like,
that's the point we read earlier.
Who are the people coming in? We got, you know, I think, Brad Jones is a good player.
But he's an inside, like, that's what I'm saying. He can play outside, too.
He can play outside.
But I'm just saying, like, he's not the best pass rusher. He's more of, like, he'd be a first and second down guy for that.
I think Kiko's going to be the guy.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I go with, like, you have to figure that Kiko Alonso and Michael Kendricks are going to play some outside linebacker. They can't be, I'm just saying, they're not going to rely on special teams guys. A first-round pick who never played last year, and a guy coming off an ACL injury, Travis Long. They're not going to be the
Trevor.
I mean, I'm just saying, those 3 guys are not going to be the guys they're guaranteeing. They can't be hanging their hat on one of those 3. You know what I mean? They got to look at them as bonuses. They have to have another plan, in effect. To me, when I look at the depth on the team and where they address, they got a bunch of depth of inside linebackers. I guess because they think they see, a skill set for Kiko Alonso and Kendricks to pass rush. That's something they really both shine at because they have the athletic ability to get around the edge. So I think that's you're going to have to see a lot more of that.
Absolutely. Now,
and that's what we've been waiting for in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Let Michael Kendricks lose. Let him lose.
Let him go.
Let him go.
All right. We're going to let him go, and we're going to end on that note, too. It's a great show tonight. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for Darren for joining us from WIP. Talk for a little while. Drop some Eagles knowledge on us. Special thanks, as always, to Darren for letting us come down here and cause a ruckus and talk nonsense for an hour and a half. So that's always fun. Thanks, everybody, that's listening out there.
Yeah, we got another great show coming Thursday night, and this is the first week of OTAs and everything starting.
Absolutely.
For all the players to get
real
together.
Quick.
The rookies will be in this weekend.
Yeah, real quick, I wanted to mention this earlier. I heard Michael Kendricks was at workouts today. Evan Mathis was not.
If it happens next week, then I'm worried.
Yeah, I read that report.
He's a
earlier
veteran. Some of the old veterans like that, you know, they don't need to be there right now.
Yeah, but still.
I think his name's been around a lot. Yeah. So. But, you know, this Thursday show is going to be another jam-packed one. We have so much more to talk about as things come about these rookies that we came in. And the next coming month is going to be fun to see. I don't think there's going to be an off-season and a training camp more highly attended than the Eagles, whatever ones they open up, and preseason games more highly watched across the nation, and the 4 Eagles preseason games coming
Chip
up.
Chip Kelly has the whole NFL world spinning on its head.
This is going to be the most exciting year in Eagles football in a long time.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure you guys all tune in on Thursday at the same time, 8 to 9:30. Check us out on our website, wizwitradio.com. We're here at the Red Sound Studios out in Warrington, PA.
Yeah, as always, on Facebook and Twitter.
Absolutely.
Wizwit Radio.
Absolutely. For my host, Mike, I'm Justin Emery. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And catch us again on Thursday.